20 years. And I was reading a thing that that I have on my wall. It's a poem that come through called Preach On. My wife gave that to me the day I got ordained, back in January of 2000. And God called me to preach at Camp Zion on a Thursday night over a pair of shoes. And then preached my first message ever here at Fletcher First Baptist on Sunday, August the 1st. And preached out of Isaiah chapter number 55. And that's not where I'm preaching this morning, but that's where I preached at. And just reminiscent of 20 years. And God, of course, called us out of Fletcher and moved us to another church for just a little while to serve. And I think God providentially ordained that. Served under David Youngblood for a little while. And then God opened the door for us to go to Anchor. And that's where I've been going on almost 15 years of January of 2020. And it's hard to believe, as I ponder, God would call a little old boy, save me at Fletcher, called me to preach out of Fletcher, and literally just be able to travel around the world just preaching the gospel. And I'm not worthy of that. But may I say I'm grateful. And like the pastor said, I'll have to be honest with you, I haven't always been faithful either. But if we all are honest, not a very one of us in here has been faithful. But just in spite of ourselves, the grace of God, His mercy and His righteousness, how could we not stop and just say, I love you, Lord, because He sure has been good to all of us. And I know there's been some heartache over the last years in this church, and there's been some challenges and difficulties. But can I tell you, God's still on the throne. And He sure has taken care of us, every one of us, well. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And I appreciate Pastor Roy allowing me to come. And I don't ask for open doors, but I did ask Pastor Roy back at Cherithon if he'd allow me just to come back just one more time. And just thank God publicly when my 20th anniversary rolled around. And it's not big like some that's been preaching 40 and 50 years, but I just want to just brag on the Lord and just tell you how good He's been to us and the Jones family allowing us to do what we do. And I appreciate the church standing with us and all every month and every quarter allowing us to be your missionary. And we've got a busy schedule, and I'm not here to talk about everything we're doing. But God's been faithful. He's met every dime. He's met every need. We're stepping out more on faith this year. And some that's been listening to the radio, I'm not on in the mornings no more. And that is all because I had to rearrange my schedule, and we're not working full-time at Anchor, even though I can. And the times I can do that, I'm able to. Pastor Barton's very gracious to me. But we're stepping away a little bit more to travel, and our ministry has grown since the last time that I've been here. And we're the director of missions for Anchor Baptist Missions International for North America and Europe. But God has been gracious enough to allow that, not only now that, but the Asia. We're taking over Asia and all the missionaries from India and Pakistan to the Philippines. And then God's opened the Middle East to us. And we've got a missionary coming on board going to Israel who writes Hebrew, speaks Hebrew. And he's could have just wrote out his ministry. He's up in his 60s, pastoring a great church, was down in Marion. But God called him and his wife to go to Israel and to try to reach the Jewish people. And I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. And then God's opened up the United Emirates to us, and I've already been one time this year to Dubai, and they're wanting us to open up a Bible college and probably help to start a church there in Dubai. And we went back in May, Dr. Whittemore and myself, and we're going back, Lord willing, in December, and we'll be in Dubai, and then we're going to fly to India and be there for about a week, and we'll be in Montana for about 3 weeks in November. I'll be in St. Vincent the end of October. I'll be in Alaska and Washington at the end of September, the 1st of October. I'll be in the Philippines for a couple weeks in January. I'll be home for just a few days, and so in between all that. But I would ask that you'd pray for the Jones family, as we've got a busy schedule this fall and into the beginning of next year. We've already got invitations to go to Mongolia next year and some other things that are happening. But I would ask that you'd pray for us. We've got a lot of ground to cover, but we got a big, big God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we're just going to trust Him and just go with Him is all we're going to do. Amen. Well, Pastor, I appreciate you allowing us to come, and I knew to understand about the fellowship hall and trying to get that ready, and it's not. But that's okay. We can feast upon the manna of the Word of God here this morning, can we not? And so we won't have no, I don't think we got, what time do I need to be done? 2 o'clock? 3? Amen. You'll be on time for service tonight if we preach that long. Say amen. And but we'll get into the book of Ruth here tonight, today, the book of Ruth. If y'all wouldn't mind turning these monitors down just a little bit, I appreciate them being up, but they bother me. I'm not good with monitors, and so I struggle with them, to be honest with you. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3, if y'all wouldn't mind standing to the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. I'm just going to look at just a few verses, and we're just going to look at a thought. I've been studying a thought through the Word of God this year on the feet of Jesus. And I've got hung up on it, to be honest with you. But can I say, I think we're missing one of the most instrumental parts of a walk with the child of God, of spending time with Him. And we're so busy going to and fro and doing the things we're doing. And I'm probably not the one to preach that. But can I tell you, we're very busy with all the conveniences that we have and all the things that we've got. And yet, seems like we get nothing accomplished. Seems like we're always trying to get more done and trying to get more done. And it seems like if we got any time, we're always trying to fill it up. But can I tell you, in the days of a child of God, I think probably one of the most things that we're missing, and I will say this, I do appreciate Pastor Roy Young in my ministry taking me up in the mountains of Madison County and took me up in some places. If he'd have left me, I'd probably still be there because I don't know that I'd ever got out of there. I mean, he turned a left here at this oak tree, a right by this pine tree. He circled around a couple times, one tree. I think he did that to get me lost. And then we'd end up somewhere in a graveyard on the side of a mountain and just little old markers. And we'd spend the day up there praying. May I say that was very instrumental in the part of my ministry early. And I appreciate Pastor Roy investing in me early in my ministry to teach me to spend some time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And can I say, in this day, I think we are missing. We're running to this practice and that practice and running here and there and get this done and sewing and piano playing and all the things that we do in the Jones family that I just say, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss that part with you. So with that thought, I want to look at Ruth today on how we're going to spend some time at his feet. Ruth chapter number 3, verse 1 says this, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Oh God, I pray. And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maiden thou was? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do it. And in verse number 6, And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all her mother-in-law bade her. With that thought, I want to look at the thought of this thought, I guess. Wait, not waiting, but the weight, pounds. Wait at his feet. I'm going to look at a typology message here this morning with the help of God. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we're grateful for just the opportunity just to rejoice over how faithful you are to us and that you have accomplished everything. Lord, we realize that it's been set up that you get all glory, all honor, and all praise. And Lord, we praise you today. We honor and we adore you, for you alone are worthy. But Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we'd ask that you'd help us here. Lord, I stand before a great congregation of people. Lord, there's different needs, different burdens, different cares. And Lord, I do not know the needs of your people, but you do. So Lord, I'm asking, since you know it, will you meet it? Now Lord, I'd pray if there's any lost among us here today, That boy or girl, mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa. God, I'd pray that they'd be birthed into the family of God here this morning. God, time is drawing near and the imminent return of Christ is ever so present before us. Now, Lord, I'd pray that you just touch your messenger. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand behind this sacred desk and preach, but Lord, we do thank you for 20 years of ministry, and Lord, we look forward to the next 20. Lord, we ask that you'd touch us and use us. Now, Lord, we praise you and we honor and we adore you, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. We see here in the book of Ruth, chapter number 3, and I've got a whole series on the feet of Jesus, and I don't have time to deal with all of it. But can I say here, just to get an introduction and a background of where we're at in the book of Ruth, here in chapter number 1, we've got a family that left Bethlehem and that house of bread, and they went down to the city of Moab. When they left Bethlehem, they left full. But when you go down, and any time you walk away from God, can I tell you, it is very detrimental to you. Anytime you stand with God and you decide to go another direction from God, you are the one that is hurting, and it will hurt you the most. We see here in chapter 1, we see a far country. They went to a far country of Moab. And not only do we see they went to a far country, but then there were some funerals that took place here in chapter number 1. And we see that Naomi, her husband, died. Not only that, but we also see that her sons died also. So they buried 3 of their own in the land of Moab. And can I tell you, when you go to Moab, which is the wash pot of God, can I tell you, it will cost you something, and you'll always pay more than you're willing to pay. And this world's saying that you need to sow some oats while you're young and try the world out. But can I tell you, you'll always reap more than you sow. And they went down here and they went down there full, and all to a sudden we see that Naomi has been left as a widow, and now she heard that there was bread or barley in the house of Bethel, and there was that famine that was taking place there in Moab. And she heard about that. She said, I'm going to take my journey back to Bethlehem. She took her 2 daughter-in-laws and she come down through and says, shall I have a man-child that you can marry him down? She says, I can't do that. And she said, go back and marry one of your own. And Orpah kissed her and walked her way back into the city of Moab. But can I tell you, Ruth says, your God will be my God. And she went with Naomi to the house of Bethel. And she went to Bethlehem or Bethel with her. And she come to this place here at Bethel. Now in chapter number 2, we see that there is a field in chapter number 2. We see where Ruth got up. She says that she was going to go and find grace. She was seeking that grace. And can I tell you, she found that grace at the end of chapter number 2. But she said, I'm going to go find grace. See, her hap was to land on a field. And can I tell you, it was no coincidence that Ruth landed in the field of Boaz. And I wrote in my Bible, she went from hap to happy, from hap to help, to hap to hopeful. And can I tell you, you get in the right field of God, you'll get that as well. Amen. And so we see that she went to that field. It was her hap to fall into this field, and she started to work, and there were some folks that caught the eyes of, and they were watching her, and all to a sudden Boaz showed up on the scene and says, whose damsel is this? And those are the keeper of the field. They says, this is Ruth the Moabitess. And so she caught the eye of Boaz. I'm glad that I caught the eye of God one day in my life, amen. And I'm glad that he recognized me. Not only that, but he come down to her, and can I tell you, the only way you'll ever get saved is he's got to come to you, amen. And so he came to her and he talked with her, and she bowed her head in verse number 10, bowed herself, and she says to the ground and says, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying I am a stranger? Well, can I tell you, I'm glad that I found grace one day of November of 1998 on a Sunday morning here at the old church, and the Holy Ghost came to where I was, convicted me of my sins, showed me I was lost and dying, going on my way to hell. But I'm glad he was graceful to me that morning, saved me by his mercy and grace. Amen. And so she went to that field. But can I tell you, Boaz told her not to leave. And can I tell you, that's exactly what God's telling us today. Don't leave. Amen. Don't walk away from me. And so we see that he did. And then he comforted her and took care of her through that time. And then it comes down that he took her in and says that you can eat. And he reached that parched corn. And she eat what he gave her, and it sufficed her. Can I tell you, can I save you a lot of heartache? God is all you need. Amen. I figured I'd get a bigger amen out of that. Can I tell you again, God is all you will ever need. He'll meet your need, and when he broke that parched corn, can I tell you, it was big enough. It filled her up. It sufficed her for everything that she needed. Then Boaz told the keeper of the field, he says, lay out some handfuls of purpose, and he says, don't rebuke her and don't reproach her. I'm going to preach a message on that one of these days. And that he come down in one verse, he said, don't rebuke her. The next verse, he said, don't reproach her. And he laid out handfuls of purpose, says, she gets the sheaves, don't you go in there and bother her. So she filled up her little old basket, took what she took back to the house. The Bible tells us that she took out what she wanted, and then she gave the rest to Naomi. And old Naomi said, where did you go today? And all of a sudden, she got an ephah of barley, and Ruth gave it to Naomi, and Ruth told her all the stories, what's going on. Now that brings us to chapter number 3, where we run into the feet of Boaz. And so we see, number 1, we see a concerned mother-in-law here in Ruth 3. And can I tell you, I don't have no bad words for about a mother-in-law. I've got the best mother-in-law, and I'm being honest with you. I appreciate my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law, and you'll never hear a twisted joke come off my tongue about my mother-in-law. Y'all okay? Some of you husbands can't say that, can you? Let me move on before I get in trouble. But can I tell you, there was a concerned mother-in-law. She said here in verse number 1, she said it was her personal endeavor. She says, my daughter, shall I not seek rest? And in other words, I need to find you to marry somebody. And she had some wheels turning in her mind. And can I tell you, there we need to get a burden and a personal endeavor as a mom for our children. We're lacking that today. We're lacking a burden to get out the gospel to our children and trying to find what's best for them. And can I tell you, that's not always an easy thing to do. My oldest daughter, she graduated this year. They said kindergarten's the roughest year you'll go through. That is a lie. I don't know who ever come up with that, but boy, is that wrong. You drop them off at kindergarten, you got 12 more years, say amen right there. You drop them off at the senior year, I mean, they're graduating and moving on. But can I tell you, as she's graduated, we're trying to find the perfect will of God for her life, of what God has for her, because we just don't want to thrust her out to a bunch of dogs, say amen right there. But can I tell you, we need to have that personal endeavor that she said, I need to find rest for you. Not only that endeavor, but that personal equal that she can marry, but that personal enjoyment. And it says here in the bottom of verse number 1, that it may be well with thee. Can I tell you, there's some folks trying to find joy in this world and trying to find joy in sin. You'll never find it. There is joy for a season, but can I tell you, it's a short season. She says, I need something that's going to be permanent in your life, Ruth. And so we see a concerned mother-in-law. Then we see the change in moment. Let me move on. We see it here in verse number 3. She says, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put on thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. And so we see a change in moment. Can I tell you, you just won't go to God any old way. I mean, we have lightened who God really is. He's still holy. Amen. He's still just and righteous. I'm telling you, his name has a meaning behind it and should be reverenced. And yet we call him the man upstairs and me and the big man upstairs got things together. No, he's not the big man upstairs. He's God. Amen. And can I tell you, we have lacked and we have walked away from the reverence of who God is. And you're just not going to approach him any old way. And she says here, number 1, you need to get prepared. You need to wash. Can I tell you, Ruth's been out in that field all these days, and she had to get cleaned up, amen. Can I tell you, we walk around in this nasty now and now, and can I tell you, we do get the dust of this old world on us sometimes. But can I tell you, when you go to God, you need to be prepared, and you need to be washed up. And evidently, she had to get clean, and so we see that preparing. But look at the perfume. She said, anoint thee. That perfume, what it does is it sets you apart from the others. Y'all all right? Y'all okay this morning? Amen. Can y'all say amen? Thank you. It sounds good on the tape. And can I tell you, we need to be different from everybody else. We're living in the days that the church has become very worldly and the world's become very churchy, and we can't tell them apart. Can I tell you, in the days that we're living, we need to be different in this old world. My wife's got a certain perfume she puts on. It separates her from everybody else. Say amen right there. Am I okay? Can I tell you, it sets her apart. Can I tell you, we need to be anointed. Amen.
We need to have that smell of God on us. Amen. I wonder how many times we ever walked out of Fletcher First Baptist Church, somebody smell you as you left here and says, "Boy, where you been? There's a smell about you that's different." Amen. Song of Solomon, that Shulamite woman, she had that aroma of the cedars of Lebanon on her. Everybody smelled it. Can I tell you, we should have that anointing that somebody smells a little bit different about us. And can I tell you, not only do we need to be anointed, but look at this also, the presentation of this. She says you need to put on your raiment. Can I tell you that raiment, you got to think about where Ruth is. Raiment, that Ruth, what Ruth was wearing, Lord help me here today. What Ruth was wearing was the mourning garments. They say those mourning garments was like a lamb's skin that they wore. They say it was very irritating. They say you itched a lot when you wore the mourning clothes. Can I tell you, some of y'all have allowed the devil to put the mourning clothes on you. Something's happened in your life. Maybe you've been mistreated and you've moped around and put the mourning clothes on. And can I tell you, there is no comfort in the mourning clothes. You're always itching. I can just imagine old Ruth. She probably never had a time or a piece of rest. And can I tell you, that's exactly what the devil wants. He don't want you to have no peace. He don't want you to have no rest. He don't want you to have the joy that's within you. He don't want you to enjoy Christianity. And somehow or another, something happens to you or something goes in your life, and all of a sudden, you put on them mourning clothes and you're just uncomfortable all the time. But can I tell you, she says, you can't go to Boaz with them mourning clothes on. You got to change your raiment. And this raiment is a type of grace. And can I tell you, as she slipped off those old mourning clothes, she said, "Ruth, why don't you just try this on?" Said, "Slip your arm into this sleeve." And I could see old Ruth slipping her arm up in that sleeve of whatever it was. It was probably a pretty nice dress or whatever she was wearing, probably made out of silk or something very comfortable. As I see old Ruth sliding her hand up through that sleeve, said, "That sure does feel better. All right, Ruth, let's slide the other one in." And old Ruth says, "I don't itch no more." As she is getting her all laced up there and getting her all taken care of for that presentation, can I tell you, that raiment that she put on is that of consecration. And she was set apart. She was consecrated. And her life was different to go to Boaz. Amen. So we see that changing moment. But number three, wherever we're at, that coming moment. She says here in verse number 5, she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I like these. I circled them and highlighted them in my Bible. I will do it. I will do." And I tell you, it's very simple. All you got to do is just do what the Word of God says. Amen. We're living in days that we're trying to rearrange the Word of God to fit our lifestyle. It's not going to work. God's not changing His Word. By the way, it's already settled in heaven. It's above His name. Can I tell you exactly, if the Word of God says that this is what you're going to do, can I tell you, that's what we should do. It should never be a question in our life. God, is this what you want me to do? It says to give thanks always. Can I tell you, just do it. Rejoice forevermore. Just do it. I mean, them 21 verses in the book, I think, what is it, 1 Thessalonians, and it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's just pretty simple. Just do it. Can I tell you, in the days we're living, and the Word of God is what the Word of God is. And Ruth, she had to come to a place. She says, "You know, I will do." And we see where she purposed. Not only did she purpose, but the path. Verse number 6, "And she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." Can I tell you, I thought about this path. Ruth, as far as I know, and I've read in the Scriptures, I don't ever see where Ruth ever went down here before. This path, no doubt, was a scary path. Because she's never been there. She's going on uncharted territories. Can I tell you, the day I got saved in November 1998 at the old building, I think about the third stained glass window back. I remember when the Holy Ghost was dealing with me. I'm telling you, I was in a mess that morning. My leg was like a singing sewing machine. I was huffing, I was a puffing. My wife was hitting me in the leg, telling me to stop it. Well, she couldn't have stopped that if she wanted to. And all of a sudden, Pastor Roy says, "Every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody stand." I don't even think he got to that place. I just got up, and I think when I got up, I got saved right there. But can I tell you, I have never been in my life. I was raised Catholicism. Don't get nervous. I'm born again. But I've never been to an altar. The only reason I went to church was for my wife. We've been married 25 years this year. She's put up with me. Praise God. She's got the next 25 licked. Say amen right there. I hope. But I remember when I stepped out, Brother Creasman, never experienced that in my life. Can I tell you, those first few steps were a little bit nervous. I was a little tentative, can I say. And I remember walking down and getting there where that L is in that old church building. If you want to go, it's on this side, right there at the L. I bowed on the left side of that L. Can I tell you that day when I went down there, I said, Lord, would you forgive a sinner? Can I tell you that path that morning, it was a scary path. It was some unknowns in my life. But can I tell you, I'm glad that I took that path that morning. Amen. I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. 21 years ago, back in November of 1998, I'm glad I took that path. And I tell you, there's probably some of y'all in here probably need to take that same path as well. Amen. Y'all all right? We're moving. We're getting to the good part next. Don't wait. Then the place. She had to go to that threshing floor. And can I tell you, there's a lot of symbolic meaning. We won't deal with it today. But can I tell you, she had to go to where he was. And can I tell you, that threshing floor. But look at the compassionate man. We'll hurry. We see here in verse number 9, and it says, and he says, who aren't they? Who aren't they? We see the pressure here. He said there ain't no pressure there. You got to understand the story. She's laying there. She went down after he done laid down. Well, she wasn't there when he laid down at first. So she went in, uncovered his feet. The Bible said softly. And all of a sudden, I've tried to visualize this the best I can. But I don't know about you, there's sometimes I roll over on my back in the middle of the night and stretch. Amen. Boy, y'all quiet today. And then, could you imagine him stretching out? Then, that wasn't there. Maybe I'm dreaming. You ever have those that you're half awake, half asleep, wondering if you're dreaming? You know? And all of a sudden, I could just see him one more time stretching out. Says, you know, that's not right. By the way, it's in the middle of the night and it's dark. And he cries out. He says, who art thou? And we see his properness of who he is. He says in verse number 9, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth thy handmaiden. After this, you never see Ruth be called the Moabitess in the Bible. And it says, and spread therefore the skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. She says, why don't you marry me? And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed me more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requestest. And can I tell you, verse number 10, he adored her because of the character that Ruth was holding. He adored what she was doing. Can I tell you, I asked God, have you ever adored me? You ever just adored me for my character? For loving you and being so respectful and reverent? Can I tell you, he adored her. But secondly, he reassured her. He says, fear not, for all that thou sayest, I will do. And can I tell you, there's a God in heaven who'll give you a fear not. He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. You got to understand, she didn't know what was going to happen. But boy, when God speaks peace in your life, and he says, fear not, can I tell you, I'm sure there was a peace that come into that threshing floor like none other. So we see the properness, but then we see the product. He says, tarry the night. He says, I want you to stay all night. And it's from evening to morning. She went from the dark time of her life to worship. And sometimes you got to go through some dark days in your life to come out on the other side of worshiping. And so he took her. He laid her down all night. They got up the next morning. And he says, don't let anybody know that a woman or a lady was on my floor. But I thought this was quite unique, what he did. He says, take off thy veil. I thought that was pretty neat. And I'm sorry. I got to apologize to my wife before I go any further, because she gets my suits dry clean and I mess them up. Y'all okay? And can I tell you, this is like a veil. Just visualize this. I don't know where she was wearing it, but can I tell you, that veil, she had to take it off. And can I tell you, you will never, ever worship God with things covered in your life. A lot of folks are covering things. The reason you can never worship and pay attention to what God has for you is because your mind is so cluttered with things. You got things in your life, sin in your life, distractions in your life, hurt in your life, pain in your life. And can I tell you, all these will hurt you from worshiping God. And he says, take it off. And can I tell you, some of the best things you'll ever do in your life is just take off the veil and let God work in your life like only he can do. And can I tell you, in the days we're living, we need God to work. Our country's in a mess. I mean, our land is in a wreck and a ruin. And the Sodomites are coming on scene. And the Antifa and all the other groups are coming against us. And the Word of God is under attack. And now we got a political party that wants to take God out altogether of the things that goes on in Washington, D.C. And I tell you, we have allowed the veil to cover us. And we are hurting our worship. But can I tell you, all she had to do was just take it off. That's all. But watch what he does. He says, hold it out. She held it out. And the Bible says he put 6 measures of barley in that veil. I don't know what that 6 measures is. Depending who you read behind, they says it's 6 bushel. I don't know how she carried 6 bushels of barley. But all I know, it's a lot. And she got this, and I mean, she just held it out. And then the Bible says, I don't know if he took the 4 corners or what he did, but the Bible says, and he laid it on her. I don't know, Miss Creasman, what he did or how he did it. Just say this is a veil. And he laid that barley on her. I don't know. He says, now don't let nobody know you've been here. How do you hide 6 measures of barley in a city? Y'all catch on to that here in a little bit. And so she's walking back to the house. I'm sure she had a little bit of high step because he says, fear not. I will do it. Everything that thou requestest, I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, she's got 6 measures of barley. Can I tell you, in chapter number 2, she worked and only got 1 ephah. That's all she got. But in chapter number 3, she laid down at his feet and got 6 measures of barley. But what I thought was, and you read this story, and what my mind just was rolling with this. Boaz didn't give it to her to keep. He says, take this to Naomi. She left full. She come back empty. And he says, can you take this to Naomi? And could you imagine? I don't know about y'all. I do a lot of the grocery shopping and kick against my wife. I like grocery shopping. I know I'm odd, but I like finding the best deals. It's a challenge to me. I mean, I get my calculator out. I mean, I'm down to the half cent kind of guy. But when it's raining, you got all those groceries. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to try to get as much on you as you can. Well, you know, that's dumb in a way because I can't get my key out. So now I'm standing at the door My children and my wife are in there. No disrespect to the furniture, preacher. You don't mind, do you? You go to the door. Let me in. Well, then they're going to argue for 5 minutes who's going to open the door. Would somebody open the door? I could imagine old Ruth, because her hands had to be full. Naomi! Hurry! I can't carry this all day. And Naomi comes to the door. Thank y'all. And what she does, Naomi, Boaz told me to bring that to you. Woo! I wonder who we're robbing by not spending any time at the feet of Jesus. We're saying, God, lay it on us. Brother Garen, you here, brother? See, you watching the place. He's a guardsman today. You know what he told me? He said, preacher, lay it on us. I said, God, I hope I spent some time with you this week. Oh, I hope I've got something for your preacher, your people. Because I don't know who I'm talking to, and just come up to them and lay it on them. And can I tell you, we're saying, God, lay it on us, lay it on us. But we never spend any time with him to lay it on us. I ask you, Fletcher, all these children, well, weren't they a joy today? Amen. All these children wonder when's the last time they saw mom and daddy spend time with God. Watch God lay it on you. Preacher, been some folks at the feet of Jesus on your behalf this year. And I'm sure there's been some days somebody just come to you and give you a word. They didn't know what you were facing, but they give you exactly what you needed. All right, preacher. Sister, struggles. Nobody likes that C word. Bad word. I wonder, sister, how many people's laid out in the middle of the night. Oh, God, touch my dear sister. Oh, Lord, you could touch her. Somebody come to you or text you on your phone or call you and say, I just want you to know God's laid you on my heart today and I'm praying for you. Little girl, surgery this year. And every surgery's major. I wonder, the text come through. Sister, we're just praying for you. Pastor Roy, and I say thank you. Those times you took the church up there at your mom and daddy's old home place. We've laid out in them woods of praying. He'll come back. He said, God, give me something up there in the mountains to give to my people. I'm wondering. I have a fit. I wonder, Preacher Roy, how many times you laid out on behalf of my family to touch Brother Jones. Use him, oh God. Keep them safe. I've laid out middle night for a lot of y'all folks in this church. You've never known it, now I'm not bragging. But somebody's going to have to spend some time with you. Some of y'all, it's a passing generation today. You don't hear it much anymore. How many of y'all had a praying mama? When you went out middle of the night, come back, come in the house, no mama back there. Oh God, protect my boy. Oh God, save my boy. Oh God, would you just touch my family? Oh God, would you just touch my grandchildren? Oh God, would you just do that which only you can do? And somebody spend some time with God and get along with him at his feet. God would lay it on them and bring something to you because they spent some time with you. I didn't have a praying mama. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But I thank God for some dear ladies and some men. God touched the lost. Spend some time. Wonder what prayer got through on my behalf. Wonder what prayer got through on your behalf. I wonder this week alone who spent any time with them. Never spend no time with them, but we want all his blessings. Can't lay it on us until we spend some time with him. So I'm wondering, who is it? God just wants to lay it on you. Carry it. Who is it that needs that sack of barley? Who is it in here? Sorry, cameraman. I've been a disaster for y'all. I wonder, who is it? Who is it? His children. Who is it? I know that some of y'all don't want to look at me. I'm making y'all nervous. That's okay. I'm about done. Don't worry. Y'all going to make it to the steakhouse here in a minute. But I wonder who's carrying it. Who's going to go get it? See, Ruth never would have got that barley. She never would have went. It's up to us to go to that old threshing floor. Walk down that lonely path. Just say, Naomi, what you say, I will do. Precious little child. Somebody needs to go to the threshing floor on behalf of that child. You were raised in a Christian home. Godly family. That loves the Lord. Spend some time on your behalf. Now it's your responsibility. Who is it? Somebody's got to go get the barley and take it to somebody. Can I ask you, Fletcher? I know it's homecoming. We're supposed to be shouting and running the aisles. That's next week. Darren's coming. I just want to be that one, not to keep it, but to give it to you.
Amen.
I want to be that one. I will do. That's simple. I will do. She went down there. She didn't ask for nothing. And can I tell you, I find those that spend time at the feet of Jesus always gets more than they offered, than they anticipated. Mary got a word. That's all she needed. Mary, Lazarus was raised out of the tomb because Mary spent time at his feet. And she worshiped at his feet. Esther sat at the king's feet on behalf of the Jews. And Ruth spent time at the feet of Boaz, and he gave to Naomi the weight that is at his feet. Can we stand, every head bowed, every eye closed? Preacher, they're your people. Maybe the pianos would come. But I'm going to ask you tonight, or this morning, I've been saying it's night all the time. Can I ask you this? I want you to look around this congregation and all these children that are here. Who's going on their behalf? Some of you children can go to God on behalf of your family and your parents. I wonder, who are we robbing? Honestly, who are we robbing today by not just going to his feet, not asking for a thing, and say, God, just lay it on me. I want what you have, but to give to somebody else. I want to be that one that carries that barley. Maybe you're in here, you're lost, undone without God, never been saved by the grace of God. May I encourage you, today's that morning. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. Maybe you just need to get saved today. Would you come, bow down here in an old-fashioned altar, somebody will take the gospel and show you how to get saved. Maybe God's done something for you of late just because of the kindness of an individual that spent time with God on your behalf. Why don't you just come and thank God for that? Congregation of this size, this altar should be full. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. My people, which are called by my name. Oh, I'm telling you, it's available. We just got to go get it. God will never force himself on you. He'll never twist your arm. It'll be free will. Free will. Some of these children have not been birthed into the family of God on their way to hell. Somebody's got to get in behalf and intercede on them. God, save my boy. God, save my girl. God, save these young folks that are here. Some of these young folks that sang, I've been to Calvary. Not being mean or cruel. But I'd probably say not. There's probably some of them that hasn't been to Calvary, needs to go to Calvary. Would you pray on their behalf? God, help us. God, help us. Spend some time at his feet. Preacher, I'm done. You come.